But 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Would you read verse 1 aloud with me? "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for the scripture. I thank you for the day that I came to know you, the day that I became your child. I thank you so much for your love for us. I pray tonight that I would lift you up. I would lift up what you have done for us, and I lift up your love for us, and that you draw us near to you as a result. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This verse, I've read it many, many times this week because they're memorizing it in Bible class, all right? And they've been memorizing. I should say, Chase, why don't you come on up here and quote it for us, all right? We'll see how that goes. No, but they've been memorizing that verse, and so it's just been on my mind and on my mind and on my mind. What a verse, amen. Behold, what manner of love. And so the message just simply is, what manner of love? What manner of love? That verse, I love the way it starts. Behold, what manner of love. It's as if John says, wake up, wake up. John was known as the disciple whom Jesus what? Loved. He has that wonderful verse in the gospel that God used him to write, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John seemed to emphasize that over and over and over again, the love of God. And I'm thankful for the love of God. And he emphasizes what kind of love that is in these few verses right here. And the first thing that I notice about it is it's a love that brought us new life. It's a love that brought us new life. You see that in verse 1 where it just simply says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." First thing as I look at that verse of Scripture that catches my attention is the cost of the love. It's a love that brings us new life, and it came at a high cost. I sure enjoyed, you know, studying. Probably Isaiah 53, as I said this morning, is one of my favorite chapters of the Old Testament. It's, in my mind, it's one of the greatest chapters of the Old Testament. But boy, it describes what kind of love the Lord has for us, especially when you consider that passage of Scripture in light of John 3 and verse 16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Talk about a price. Talk about a cost that was paid. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. When you think about the Son of God leaving the throne of heaven to walk on this sin-cursed earth, to leave a perfect environment to go to a very imperfect environment, to go from the throne room of heaven to a little manger in Bethlehem, to walk on a sin-cursed earth, to leave a place without the effects of sin. You know, when you just think about the effects of sins upon this life, sickness and disease, heartache and pain, violence, all the things that come as a result of a problem, which is sin. And God left that perfect environment to come walk on this earth. He left an environment where they would cry out, "Holy, holy, holy," to hear the cry, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." He left that to walk on this sin-first cursed earth, where even the 12 that he would keep near him for 3 years, one of them would betray him and they would all flee him. He would ask them to pray for an hour and they would fall asleep. He would wait as the guards would come in to get him, they would all flee, and he would be taken before the religious crowd, his own people, where his own would deny him. And he would be blasphemed before Herod, before Pilate, beaten and whipped, and the crown of thorns upon his head, the cat of nine tails across his back, until he was unrecognizable as a man, and then have the cross laid across his back to carry it as far as his human body could take it, and then Simeon would carry it for him the rest of the way, to be nailed to it, to hang on it, to take our sin upon him, to have God the Father turn his back on him and cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Having our name on his mind the whole time. Talk about love. Talk about love. The reason for days like today is because God's got more than my name on his mind that day. Had a whole lot of names on his mind, didn't he? whole lot of folks in our own city, in our own town, who need the gospel of Jesus Christ because God loved them so much, He went to the cross for them. Talk about love. That He would love someone who didn't love Him in return. So even when we would come to know Him, and I don't know about you, but I'd put my I would say that I love my Savior, but I'm sure it's an imperfect love. But He loves me anyway. Talk about love, the cost of that love, the love of His own Son. It's a love that came at great cost. But it also gives us a tremendous place that Jesus would do all that. Behold, what manner of the love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to be what? To become the sons of God. That God would take you and I and make us His children. Talking about an amazing thing to be dead in trespasses of sin in one moment and serving your Savior as a son of God in the next. To go from an eternity destination in hell to being a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. To become a child of God. John speaks of this as he spoke of it in John chapter 1. I think of John 3 verses 6 through 8. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. But whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. It's hard to explain, but the day that we came to know Christ, we were born of the Spirit, became a child of God. And he says, behold, it's as if John was concerned we might forget about it, right? He was worried. I think John lived the longest in terms of the other apostles. I think maybe as he wrote this towards later in his life, maybe he had looked around and maybe he looked at the church and what was so new and so fresh and so convicting and so on their heart. Maybe it had in a generation that came to follow. Maybe it had begun just normal, to become normal to him. One generation walked with the Savior and saw it fresh with the disciples. And the next generation, maybe he saw a generation that was growing up, if you will, in Christianity. Growing up, if you will, in the church. It would have been so fresh and on the hearts and minds of those who had just about walked in the steps of their Savior. Maybe it was becoming routine to them. Normal to them. Just another day for them. And he said, hang on a second, behold, let me get your attention. Let me remind you of what a wonderful love, what manner of the love the Lord hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That He would take us out of this world, separating us from the world, sanctify us and set apart and make us His child and a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. That heaven would be our home, that we would be a new creature, that old things would have passed away. That's love, my friend. It's a love that gives us a tremendous place with our Savior. We should never forget it. It's a love that makes us a little bit odd. Look at how he says there. He goes, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Just makes you stick out a little bit. Seem a little different in this lost world. Why? It's called love. He would make us His child. He would separate us and set us apart and say, that one is mine. He'd begin that work of shaping us and conforming us into the image of His Son. And He said, I've begun a good work in you, and I won't stop doing it until the day of Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to keep shaping you and keep changing you. It's a good kind of sticking out, isn't it? It's a wonderful privilege to be known as a child of God, to be known as a Christian, that our life would be changed by what God has done for us. He's shaping us and changing us. He would say in Peter that we're a peculiar, Peter would say it this way, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. You know why God made us peculiar? He says in that verse, so that we might show forth, so that we ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. The word peculiar doesn't mean you're weird, although we might be a little weird, all right? But it just means to resemble something. My children resemble their father. They're peculiar in, well, you know, some of them look. You wake Jack, all right? And she's like, Daddy, preach shorter. And she's going. But they resemble their father. They're peculiar. They look like a Han, if you will. We're peculiar. We are to look like our Savior. And the reason being is that we could show forth the praises of the one who's called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. God means to make us different because that's the way we show forth His praises. Can't show forth His praises if you look just like the world. Boy, God calls us out and He begins to shape us and change us and make us resemble Him, and He changes our life and our demeanor. And all of a sudden we get the privilege as a child of God to show forth the praises of the one who made us a child of God. Yeah. To lift Him up. He takes us of being dead in trespasses of sin under the prince and power of the air and makes us His child to show forth His praises. It's a love that brings us a whole new life. It's a love that makes us a whole new person. It said that in that verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Beloved, now are we the sons of God. He's made us a whole new nature. But He said He's going to keep doing it until the day we see Him. He said, "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." That song, "He's still working on me," singing as a child, "to make me what I ought to be." He said, I'm going to work and I'm going to shape you until you see Him. And then He said, "We'll be just like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." I love these verses in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11 says this, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. He said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." Some of the things He says in that verse, it's almost as if God says, I hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God has reserved for you. He said, well, I'm going to give you my Spirit to teach you. And one of those things He tells us is that one day we're going to be just like Him. It's something that you ever have something explained to you and you might technically understand it, but it's still hard to wrap your mind around. I mean, you've grasped, if you will, the principle. It's been taught to you, but when you think about the awe of it, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Well, friend, I know what He's saying. I'm a son of God. He took me out of this world, sanctified me and set me apart and made me His child. Made me a joint heir of His Son, and one day heaven is my home. And He says, Sethan, I'm still working on you. I've seen Him work on me. And He says, one day, you're going to see me and you're going to be just like me. Oh, friend, I can explain it, but I don't think I'll get it till I see Him. See, there's coming a day when what I see, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared Him for. Oh, His Spirit's still teaching us and trying to explain it to us and teaching us through His Word. And I'm thankful for that Holy Spirit that's inside of us. But there's coming a day, friend, there's coming a day when all that we have talked about and looked for and believed in, one day we will see Him face to face and we will be as He is. And boy, that child of God that we know that we are, that God has given us, one day we're going to see it in completion. And what a day that will be. That He's made us a whole new person. Talk about love. He's given it us His Holy Spirit to teach it to us and explain it. There's coming a day when I'm going to see it face to face. And in person, we'll see our Savior that day. He said, look, I've got a love for you that makes you my child. It's a love that brings new life. It's a love that'll make you a whole new person. And lastly, we see this. It's a love that has great power. Look at verse 3. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." He tells us of our hope first. Here's our hope. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Here it is. There's a love that God has given to us to make us his child. There's a love that he loved us and made us a whole new person. And one day we're going to see him face to face. And he says this: every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is what? Pure. He's talking about our position and our practice, isn't he? Positionally, he purifieth himself even as he is pure. Look, the Lord took our sin upon him, and he took our, and he gave us his righteousness. And when God looks down at me, he says, come boldly before my throne of grace, because I see the righteousness of my Son on you. I have purified you. I have cleansed you. I have set you apart. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if you have that hope in you that you're a child of God, that he's doing a work inside of you, he said, then purify yourself even as you are pure. But as I look at that, it's almost as if God puts what God has done for me positionally, he took care of that, and then the practical change, it's almost as if I own that on my own. But I think of these verses in Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. See, that day that you came to know Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moved in, took up residence, and he's the one who made you the child of God. He sealed you unto the day of redemption and sanctified you and set you apart. And that Holy Spirit of God took up residence. 1 John 4:4, John would say this under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is what? In the world. See, I think there's a whole lot more to that hope that is in you than just a statement of fact. So if you have this hope in you, look, you've got a hope inside of you, and it's a hope that is a faith-based hope. That God loved you so much that he sent his own son to this earth to die on an old rugged cross for you that you might be saved. He made you his child. He set you aside. And one day you're going to see him and he's going to completely change your life. But in the meantime, let me tell you something. He's still inside of you, changing you from day to day. You know, here it is. God said, I have this hope in me that I'm pure, that one day I'll see the Lord. And he's still working on me, but he doesn't expect me to do it all on my own. Matter of fact, I love the verses in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God, that Holy Spirit of God moved in, took up residence, and he's doing a work inside of us, and he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, I've got a hope. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon me? He loved me so much that he made me his child. He loved me so much, and he loved you and I so much that he gave us a whole, made us a whole new person. He loved us so much that one day we're going to see him as he is. We'll be just like him. But in the meantime, he's left me his Holy Ghost inside of me to keep working on me, to keep changing me. And all that I have to do is yield, 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 yield. He said, I'm doing something in your life, and if you just yield to the working of the Spirit, you're just filled with the working of the Spirit, you run to that book and yield to his teachings and call upon him. He goes, guess what? That Holy Spirit of God does a work inside of me. One day I'm going to see the Lord, and I'm going to see him face to face. And my life will be complete, and this old sinful nature will drop off, and I'll be just like him. May not look exactly the same, but we'll have the same moral attributes, if you will. All that old sinful nature is going to be gone. I'm going to be exactly who he intended me to be. But in the meantime, that Holy Spirit of God moves in, takes up hope, and I have a hope inside of me. Friend, it's a faith-based hope that I'm a child of God, sanctified and set apart and belonging unto him. I'm a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am that because he loved me so much that he did it all for me. He loved me enough to die for me to make me a son. He loved me enough to die for me to make me a new nature. He loved me enough to die for me that he'd leave me his Holy Spirit inside of me to purify me even as I am pure. He's not saying, Seth Hahn, live the Christian life all by yourself. He's saying, let me live that life through you. Let me live that life through you. That's what Paul was saying in Galatians 2:20. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son. He said, this is the life that we live. It's God that's living and doing work inside of us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Have you thought much about the love of God? The Bible tells us we're to be constrained by His love. His love for me and my love for Him, it ought to change me completely. John spoke of it. Behold, wake up, pay attention, look to. Look at what God has done for you, that He would love you so much that He would die on a cross that you might become a child of God. That He'd make you a whole new nature. That He'd give you a place in heaven. That He'd give you a hope that lies within, that is both faith and the work of the Holy Spirit inside of me. That He's working in my life, that He's shaping my life, that He's changing my life. And one day, I'm going to leave this world. Mrs. Pennington left this world behind this past week. And she stood before her Savior and she saw Him face to face. And guess what? She was as He is, for she beheld Him. Saw Him face to face. One day, we're going to see the Lord and we'll be just like Him. I said, if you've got this hope inside of you, that Holy Ghost inside of you, that faith inside of you, purify yourself even as you are pure. Let God work inside of you and yield to His working, because God loves you. God loves me. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We need to remember the love that God has for us. Let's pray. Lord, I love You and I thank You so much for the opportunity to be in Your house.